Well, I will admit to you that I had a different sermon prepared for this morning. And, you know, I worked on it a few days ago and got it ready. And then yesterday I was asked by Pastor Charlie to come to the church to participate in something that I wasn't really ready for. It was a funeral service, and I've been to, I can't even tell you how many funerals, you know, so many. My grandfather's a pastor, and when you're part of the pastor's family, it's just kind of, I guess, an obligation that people feel that you have to go as well. And of course, you know, being the family that we are, we anytime that he would preach a funeral, we would always go and at least sing or play piano, something like that. And so, you know, I've been to so many, and you know, people that I never even knew. And yet yesterday's was different because it was one that, unlike any other I'd ever been to, and that was because it was a funeral for a newborn baby. And, you know, I didn't know the people, didn't know them at all. And yet I was so burdened and touched by their loss that I just, you know, I was there to play piano and sing, and I was just sitting at the piano weeping just because it was just, you know, it was their first child, and just to see the grief on their face. And, you know, it was, I guess Pastor Charlie had preached their wedding as well. And he said, you know, the last time that he saw them was at their wedding. He said he never thought that the next time would be something like this. And so going to something like this, it's easy. Even I myself, it's easy to go through something like that and say, Lord, why? As that song says, and as that poem that I referenced said, it's easy to, when we're going through a trial, to say, Lord, why did you let me go through that? Why did you leave me alone? And the message that I have this morning is one that I've used before, and I just felt led to use it this morning because, although, you know, I've met many of you, most of you, and I know your name and a little bit about you, I don't know much about you. I don't know the trials that you may be going through. I don't know the hardships that you're facing, just as you don't know some of the ones that I've gone through or that I'm facing. But I know that there is one who is able to get you through those. And the title of this message this morning is one that may come across as a little strange. I've kind of given you a little bit of an intro to it, so it may not come across as too strange to you. But the title of this message is God is in Trouble. And my scripture for my sermon today is out of one of my favorite psalms, and it's Psalm 46. If you have your Bibles, it's in Psalm 46. You can either read along or just listen as I read it. I'll read the first three verses. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. Let's go to the Lord one more time in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this time that you've given us to come together to sing your praises and to look into your word for the message that you would have for us at this time. I pray that you would bless the reading of your word and bless my words in the next few minutes, that they would not be mine, but that they would be yours, that those who are here would be blessed and get the message that you would have for them for this time. We thank you for your blessings and for this freedom that we still have together to worship you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God is in trouble. You know, I was reminded and came across an illustration of a little boy's prayer. And he was saying his prayers one night at his bed. And his mother walked in, and she, you know, tried not to disturb him, but she was just kind of listening in to him. And she heard him say, God, please take care of yourself, because if anything happens to you, we're all in a world of trouble. And how true that is. But truly, as I've said this morning, God is in trouble. And I don't mean that in a way to say that he's having problems or things like that. But when we're having troubles, he's right there with us. And as that poem says, and as that verse and that song referenced, when we go through those troubles, it's easy to look and say, well, Lord, there's only one set of footprints. Why are you making me go through this alone? But as that poem also goes on to say, he's right there. And not only is he there with us, but he's holding us and carrying us through it. I've got a few points this morning. First of all, God is in trouble to be our shelter. As we see in this verse, a familiar scripture, I'm sure, to most of you, God is our refuge. We can go on in other parts of the Psalms and see in Psalm 62, it says, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Going on in Psalm 91, it says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him I trust. Back to Psalm 62, it says, in God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. I came across a book a few years ago that was simply, it was a devotional, but it was set up to be used with the stories of some of the old hymns from days gone by, hymns and gospel songs. And each day of the year, it gave a different hymn, and then it gave the story behind that hymn. And I've used a couple of those this morning, one of those being the old song, Rock of Ages. It was written by a man who was named Augustus Toplady, and he was a great preacher, but he was also afflicted with sickness for most of his life. And he died at the very young age of 38. His final words were, my heart beats every day stronger and stronger for glory. Sickness is no affliction, pain no cause, death itself no disillusion. My prayers are now all converted into praise. You see that when we're in trouble, as I've already said this morning, the Lord is right there with us. And as the Psalms reference, he is there to be our refuge. You know, when you look up the word refuge, you get a lot of synonyms. You might see words like stronghold. You see words like harbor. And these words that simply reference times of trouble or storms, and yet they're places of shelter that we can find, as this says, refuge, find rest in. Catherine Booth once said, the waters are rising, but so am I. I'm not going under, but over. And there may be times, truly, when the storm waters come. There may be times when, as I've already said, you're going through a trial, or as I've referenced and called it, a storm in your life, when it seems like nothing else could go wrong because everything else has already gone wrong. But it's in those times that God will give you the strength to get you through that. We see that a quote that also says that no man ever sank under the burden of the day. It was when tomorrow's burden was added to the burden of today. You know, it's easy. Sometimes we may not be going through a trial, but it's easy to get burdened down and discouraged to look ahead to the future and say, well, you know, I've got this coming up. I've got this coming up. I don't have time for this. What am I going to do? But just as he's in our lives and in trouble to be our shelter and our refuge in times of trouble that we're actually going through, he's also in there to be our shelter in times of stress. You know, it's something in today's society, stress is probably one of the leading causes of illness. I worked as a pharmacy trainer before I left for the Air Force. So I got to see firsthand the effects of stress, because people would come in literally on a daily basis and get medications for stress, for depression. And yet, God is there with us. And if we'll just turn it over to him, he'll get us right there through it. You see, it's often in the midst of sorrow that we sense God's presence the greatest. And as I've said, he's in there to be our shelter in the storm of stress. He's also, as I made reference to the couple yesterday, he's in our lives to be our shelter in the storms of sorrow. You know, I can't imagine the sorrow that that young couple was feeling yesterday. You know, look through 9 months of living, getting things ready, getting a nursery ready and things for a baby to come home, your first baby, and then having to lose that child and say goodbye to that child. I can't imagine that. But yet God is right there with them, and he'll be right there with us whenever we face times of sorrow. I'm reminded of the song, old song that we used to sing at my home church that said, "No, never alone." And, you know, this song makes reference to the times of solitude in our lives when, as I've said, it feels like we're all alone. But as this song says, "I've seen the lightning flashing. I've heard the thunder roll. I've felt sin's breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. I've heard the voice of my Savior telling me still to fight on. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. The world's fierce winds are blowing, temptations sharp and keen. I feel a peace in knowing that my Savior stands between. He stands to shield me from danger when earthly friends are gone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. When in affliction's valley I'm treading the road of care, my Savior helps me to carry my cross when heavy to bear. My feet entangled with briars ready to cast me down, my Savior whispers his promise, I never will leave thee alone." Truly, God is right there with us in our troubles, and he's there to be our shelter. Secondly, we can see that not only is he there to be our shelter, but God is in trouble to be our strength. We see in the Bible the phrase that by his strength he will guide us. Book of Exodus chapter 15, you don't have to turn there for sake of time. I'll read it. It says in verse 13, it says, "Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation." We see also that by his strength he will gird us. In Psalm 18 it says, "It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect." Going on in verse 39 of that same psalm, it says, "For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued me under those that rose up against me." The word "gird" comes from a word that means simply to bind in such a way that it will not come apart. Sometimes it feels like we're falling apart. How many times have you gone through something and it feels like you can't get any lower? It feels like your life is completely falling apart. I know I have. And yet, as this scripture says, that God will gird us, or he'll strengthen us. He'll make us to where we can't fall apart. I'm a big fan of the reader board messages on churches when they go out and they'll put a different message a week or whatever on a board on a church. And so when I travel, I like to look at those and see them. And you see some good ones every now and then. And one that I came across one time back home said that a life hemmed in prayer seldom comes unraveled. And that's so true. Just as God will gird us, it takes that faith to seek God. It takes that faith to ask him to help us. And he truly will gird us. As I said, he will guide us, he'll gird us. To use a word that I kind of like to do some woodworking. I haven't got to do it in a while just because I haven't had anywhere to do it, but it was a hobby of mine when I lived at home. And to use a term from kind of that field, not only will he guide us and gird us, but he will galvanize us. You know, in Psalm 138 in verse 3, it says, "In the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul." How true that is. You know, we see in the scripture that when the prophet was got to a point where he was just completely depressed because things were going against him, it says that he was hiding in a cave. And we see that, you know, earthquakes came and all this tempestuous actions around him. And yet in the midst of it all, after all had ended, the Bible says that there was still that still small voice. And that still small voice is that voice that guides us and that girds us, that galvanizes us, because it's that still small voice that should be our strength. Next, we can see that God is in trouble to be our solace. As I said, I have that book of some of the hymn stories. One of those stories that touched me as well was the story of the old song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." And it's written by a man named Joseph Scriven. And the story goes that he lost his fiancée in an accidental drowning at the young age of 25 on the night prior to their wedding. Later on that in his lifetime, he wrote the words to "What a Friend" as a poem and sent it to his ailing mother. In preparing for this sermon, I came across an illustration of a man by the name of George McCausland, who was a director of a YMCA. And many years ago, he was serving at that YMCA that was losing its members one by one. And because of this, it was having financial difficulties and terrible staff problems, because as people would leave, they would have to lay people off. And so they didn't have enough people to help. And he found that he had to do the jobs of many of those who had been laid off, and he was working on an average of 85 hours per week. He's getting little sleep at night, and he took little time off, but when he was off, he wasn't really off, because he was spending all of his time worrying and fretting over his YMCA. A counselor once told him that he was on the verge of a nervous breakdown, and he had to learn to somehow let go and let God into his problems, but he didn't know quite how to do that. So one day, George took an afternoon off, and he took a pad and a paper, and he took a walk in the woods. You know, it's something that I personally like to do, because it seems like when you get alone with God, especially in his creation, he can speak to you more openly. And so he takes this walk, and as he's walking through the cool of the woods, he could just feel his tight body and his neck start to relax for the first time in several years. And he sat down under a tree and he sighed, and for the first time in so many years, he just relaxed. And he took out his pad and his paper, and he decided that he would let him go, the burdens of his life. And he wrote God a letter, and he said, "Dear God, today I hereby resign as general manager of the universe. Love, George." And then said, smiling, "And wonders of wonders, God accepted my resignation." As I've already referenced this morning, many times in today's life and society, we have so many things going on, be it school, be it work, even being involved in church, that it's easy to get burdened down. It's easy to get stressed out. I know. I've been there. At one time, before the Air Force, I was taking an average of 21 credit hours a semester and working 40 plus hours a week. So I know what it's like to be stressed out. And I'm not going to stand up here and try to say that I was, you know, just smooth sailing and happy the whole time through it, because I wasn't. There were times when I got burdened down and depressed. But when I finally learned that I couldn't do it on my own, that I just had to let go and let God, as the old saying goes, then he came in. And as we see, you know, in the book of Acts, he came in kind of like that mighty rushing wind that just came over me. And the peace that, as his word says, passes all understanding, came over me. You see, God truly wants to be our solace. He wants to aid us and comfort us, as that word means. But oftentimes he can't help us because we refuse to let him in. You know, many times in my own life, I don't know if it's just pride or whatever it may be, but it was always hard for me to pray for myself. You know, it's easy to say, "Well, yeah, I'll pray for you and pray for someone else and take their burdens to God." But it was hard for me to pray for myself and say, "God, you know, why am I going through this? Help me through this." Until you learn to humble yourself, and as his word says, seek his face. The Bible says that when you do that, he won't forsake you. There's an old song, well, it's not very old, but it says that God wants to hear you sing. And, you know, it references, you know, Paul being in prison and, you know, in the midnight hour, just letting out songs of praise to God. You know, it's in those times when life is going easy and life is going good. It's easy to sing praises to God and to say, thank you, God, for all these good things. But it's when you're going through the valley, you're going through those hard times, it's hard to say, God, you know, thank you anyways. You know, it could be worse. I could be here or there, but thank you anyways. But it's in those times that he truly wants to hear our praises, and he'll bless us for that. And one of the lines in that verse that I really love, it says that he will hush the angels' praises just to hear what we are saying. That's such a beautiful picture to me. As we see that God gives us several things to be our solace or our comfort, he doesn't let us go through it alone. He gave us some helps. First of all, we see that the Spirit is our solace or our comfort. In John 14:16, it says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Going on, it says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Truly, the Spirit is there to be our comfort, to be our solace. Secondly, we can see that the Scriptures are there to be our solace. In Romans 15:4, it says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime are written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. 1 Thessalonians says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Truly, in today's society, it's easy to get so busy that we forget to open God's Word. It's easy. There are so many distractions around us that we have. You can turn on the TV and have 500 plus channels. You can get on the internet and access any kind of information that you want. It's easy to get tied up in all those things and not take the time to open God's Word. But it's so important. I can't stress how important it is. Not only is it our comfort, you know, and if you cook something, or you're putting something together, you have a recipe or you have instructions. And if you don't follow those and you try to do things on your own, if you're baking a cake, it won't turn out just right. If you're putting something together, especially something from IKEA, it won't come together right. You'll have a bed that's lopsided or whatever it may be. Just as we have those instructions and that recipe for the little things in life, this is our instruction booklet for our own life. You know, things can get so complicated. It's so easy, like I said, just to get burdened down, and then we say, well, you know, I just don't know what to do. If we would truly open this Word, and you know, I've heard so many people say, well, I just don't understand it. I can't understand it. It's just, you know, it's just a bunch of stories. It doesn't relate to me. I don't know why I would even want to take time to read it. If you open this Word and truly have the heart that is open to hearing what God has for you. You know, in times of past, and when God first created man and put him in the garden, it says that he would walk with him in the cool of the evening, and they would talk together. And as the song says, I come to the garden. And truly, how great that must have been. And to think that you could just walk along hand in hand with God and talk to him one-on-one, and how great that would be. But yet today he's given us these are his words to us. And if you are open and willing to accept it, he'll speak to you. He'll give you the words that you need through his Word. We see that, you know, I came across, there was a funeral that I went to many years ago, and a dear old saint from our home church, and she was elderly and hadn't been able to come out to church for a couple years just because of her failing health. But our pastor spoke of her love for the Word of God and how she had a Bible by her bedside. She also had one in her kitchen. She had one in the den on a table. And she did this so she could read it first thing in the morning. And she would read it at the table when she was eating her breakfast. She would read it throughout the day when she was just had a couple minutes. She would go into her den and read the Bible. And then at night, before she'd go to bed, she'd sit on her bed and pick up that Bible that she had on her nightstand and read it. And you know, it's society has made it so easy for us to have this. There are places in the world where you can't own even a page from this word, let alone an entire Bible. I spent 2 months my senior year in high school in Kenya. And we were in the bush, so we didn't have electricity or water or anything. But one of the most memorable things that I got to do while I was there, I got to go out with the Gideon organization to give out Bibles. And we went to the schools and gave them to, you know, middle school and high school students. Many of them would never have been able to afford a Bible on their own. And here we were giving them. And we gave out I think it was in the course of a day, we gave out over 4,000 Bibles. And you could just look on their face. And in tears of joy, they would come to you. They would hug you and they would say, "Thank you so much. I've never had a Bible before in my entire life. Thank you so much." And how spoiled, I guess is a word you could use, we truly are. Most of us have not one Bible, but we have, I know, I've probably got a dozen at home, different versions, different study notes. And yet, you can even get it on your phone, so you can have any Bible you can imagine at your fingertips. And yet, we still fail to open this word and read it like we should. You know, how sad it would be if someday our Bible, as in other countries, was taken from us. And the only scripture that we had was what we had placed in our heart, what we had memorized. You know what? I went to a Christian school and it was often kind of a burden, I guess you could say, because we had to memorize Bible verses every week. You know, as a little kid, you look at that and you're like, "I don't know why I have to memorize this. I've got so many other things to remember, spelling words and things. I don't know why I have to remember these Bible verses. I have a Bible. I can just read it for myself." And one of my teachers, who's now gone home to be with the Lord, set us down as students one time and explained to us. She said, "One day, this may be taken from you. And if you have those Bible verses hidden in your heart, you'll at least have something to recite and to remember God's word by." So truly, our scriptures are there to be our comfort. And if you'll truly open them and read them like you should, God will comfort you through them and give you the words that you need. Lastly, we can see, and I'll close with this, that not only do we have the Spirit and we have the scriptures, but he's also given us the saints. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11 says, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." You know, it's easy for us to get caught up and get busy in our lives and not take time to look around us and see if someone needs help. You know, many people, I've heard many people say, at least, you know, they don't know why they have to go to church or why they should go to church. You know, they can read the Bible on their own. They can watch television preachers or things like that. And I understand there are times when things will come up and you won't be able to go, be at work or whatever it may be. But God commands us to go to church. And one of the biggest reasons, I think, is because we need the comfort of the saints. We need the edification, as this verse says, from our brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, it's sadly, many in the church today will, as soon as they get out of church, they're calling someone up and saying, "Well, did you see so-and-so today?" Or wonder where they were. And they start gossiping and spreading rumors, and how sad that is, because that's not why we come to church. We come to church to build one another up. We come to church to encourage one another, because we're all here for the same reason, and that's to go out into a lost and dying world. As Brother Kevin referenced that song, that's a beautiful song that you don't hear very often. Truly, the fields are white unto harvest. And if all you're willing to do is sit around and think on your own things, and you're not willing to go out there and truly seek the lost souls, then that's the only reason that God has placed you on this earth, is to seek lost souls for Him. I came across a story of a young man who confessed to his pastor and said that, "My life is really in bad shape." "How bad?" the pastor asked him. And burying his head in his hands and beginning to weep, he said, "I'll tell you how bad. The only thing that I've got left is God." The pastor's face lit up, and he said to him, "I'm happy to assure you that a person with nothing left but God has more than enough for a great victory." Truly, as we've seen this morning, God is there to be our refuge. And when God is all you've got, you truly have more than enough. Came across a poem that says, "God is your stronghold, and with Him as your guide, you need never be afraid. No circumstances can block His love. No grief is too hard for Him to bear. No task is too difficult for Him to complete. When what you are feeling is simply too deep for words, and nothing anyone does or says can provide you with the relief you need, God understands. He is your provider today, tomorrow, and always, and He loves you. Cast all of your cares on Him." You know, I ask you today, like I said, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what trials, what burdens, what sorrows you may be facing. But God knows. And even though it may look like the storm is raging around you, it may look like you are going to fall and slip under the waves and be taken under, God will be right there with you. He'll lift down His mighty arms and pick you up. And as I've said this morning, you know, it's easy to, when things get rough, to say, "Well, you know, God doesn't have time for this. You know, He's dealing with so much other things in the world. He doesn't have time for my little burden, my little need." But the Bible says to cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And, you know, it's in the Bible, it makes reference of to cast your burden or to roll your burden. And it's making reference when it says that to a beast of burden, like a donkey. And, you know, when you're putting a heavy item onto a donkey or a mule or whatever it may be, you didn't just lift it up and throw it on there because you really hurt yourself. You picked it up first by yourself on your back, and then you just simply rolled it onto it. And that's truly what God wants you to do this morning. It's to just take all your burdens and all your needs and roll them onto Him, because He's standing there with open arms saying, "I'm right here for you. I'm going to get you through it."